Chapter 9. The Half-Blood Prince. Harry and Ron met Hermione in the common room before breakfast next morning. Hoping for some support for his theory, Harry lost no time in telling Hermione what he had overheard Malfoy saying on the Hogwarts Express.
"But he was obviously showing off for Parkinson, wasn't he?"
interjected Ron quickly, before Hermione could say anything.
"Well," she said uncertainly, "I don't know. It would be like Malfoy to make himself seem more important than he is, but that's a big lie to tell."
"Exactly," said Harry. But he could not press the point because so many people were trying to listen into his conversation, not to mention staring at him and whispering behind their hands.
"It's rude to point,"
Ron snapped at a particularly minuscule first-year boy as they joined the queue to climb out of the portrait hole. The boy, who had been muttering something about Harry behind his hand to his friend, promptly turned scarlet and toppled out of the hole in alarm. Ron sniggered.
"I love being a sixth year, and we're going to be getting free time this year. Whole periods when we can just sit up here and relax."
"We're going to need that time for studying, Ron," said Hermione as they set off down the corridor.
"Yeah, but not today," said Ron. "Today's going to be a real doss, I reckon." "Hold it," said Hermione, throwing out an arm and halting a passing fourth year,
who was attempting to push past her with a lime-green disc clutched tightly in his hand.
"Fanged frisbees are banned. Hand it over," she told him sternly.
The scowling boy handed over the snarling frisbee, ducked under her arm, and took off after his friends. Ron waited for him to vanish, then tugged the frisbee from Hermione's grip.
"Excellent! I've always wanted one of these."
Hermione's remonstration was drowned by a loud giggle. Lavender Brown had apparently found Ron's remark highly amusing. She continued to laugh as she passed them, glancing back at Ron over her shoulder. Ron looked rather pleased with himself. The ceiling of the great hall was serenely blue and streaked with frail, wispy clouds, just like the squares of sky visible through the high mullioned windows. While they tucked into porridge and eggs and bacon, Harry and Ron told Hermione about their embarrassing conversation with Hagrid the previous evening.
"But he can't really think we'd continue care of magical creatures," she said, looking distressed. "I mean, when has any of us expressed, you know, any enthusiasm?" "That's it, though, isn't it?"
said Ron, swallowing an entire fried egg whole.
"We were the ones who made the most effort in classes because we like Hagrid. But he thinks we like the stupid subject. Do you reckon anyone's going to go on to the NEWT?
Neither Harry nor Hermione answered. There was no need. They knew perfectly well that nobody in their year would want to continue care of magical creatures. They avoided Hagrid's eye and returned his cheery wave only half-heartedly when he left the staff table 10 minutes later. After they had eaten, they remained in their places, awaiting Professor McGonagall's descent from the staff table. The distribution of class schedules was more complicated than usual this year, for Professor McGonagall needed first to confirm that everybody had achieved the necessary OWL grades to continue with their chosen NEWTs. Hermione was immediately cleared to continue with Charms, Defense Against the Dark Arts, Transfiguration, Herbology, Arithmancy, Ancient Runes, and Potions, and shot off to a first-period Ancient Runes class without further ado. Neville took a little longer to sort out. His round face was anxious as Professor McGonagall looked down his application and then consulted his OWL results.
"Herbology, fine," she said. "Professor Sprout will be delighted to see you back with an outstanding OWL. And you qualify for Defense Against the Dark Arts with Exceeds Expectations. But the problem is Transfiguration. I'm sorry, Longbottom, but an acceptable really isn't good enough to continue to NEWT level. I just don't think you'd be able to cope with the coursework."
Neville hung his head. Professor McGonagall peered at him through her square spectacles.
"Why do you want to continue with Transfiguration anyway? I've never had the impression that you particularly enjoyed it."
Neville looked miserable and muttered something about, "My grandmother once."
"Hmm,"
snorted Professor McGonagall. It's high time your grandmother learnt to be proud of the grandson she's got, rather than the one she thinks she ought to have, particularly after what happened at the Ministry.
Neville turned very pink and blinked confusedly. Professor McGonagall had never paid him a compliment before.
I'm sorry, Longbottom, but I cannot let you into my NEWT class. I see that you have an exceeds expectations in charms, however. Why not try for a NEWT in charms?
My grandmother thinks charms is a soft option,
mumbled Neville.
Take charms, said Professor McGonagall, and I shall drop Augusta a line reminding her that just because she failed her charms, OWL, the subject is not necessarily worthless.
Smiling slightly at the look of delighted incredulity on Neville's face, Professor McGonagall tapped a blank schedule with the tip of her wand and handed it, now carrying details of his new classes, to Neville. Professor McGonagall turned next to Parvati Patil, whose first question was whether Ferenczi, the handsome centaur, was still teaching divination.
"He and Professor Trelawney are dividing classes between them this year," said Professor McGonagall, a hint of disapproval in her voice. It was common knowledge that she despised the subject of divination. "The sixth year is being taken by Professor Trelawney."
Parvati set off for divination 5 minutes later, looking slightly crestfallen.
"So, Potter,
said Professor McGonagall, consulting her notes as she turned to Harry.
"Charms, defense against the dark arts, herbology, transfiguration, all fine. I must say I was pleased with your transfiguration, Mark Potter, very pleased. Now, why haven't you applied to continue with potions? I thought it was your ambition to become an auror."
"It was, but you told me I had to get an outstanding in my OWL, Professor."
"And so you did when Professor Snape was teaching the subject. Professor Slughorn, however, is perfectly happy to accept NEWT students with exceeds expectations at OWL. Do you wish to proceed with potions?"
"Yes," said Harry, "but I didn't buy the books or any ingredients or anything."
"I am sure Professor Slughorn will be able to lend you some," said Professor McGonagall. "Very well, Potter, here is your schedule. Oh, by the way, 20 hopefuls have already put down their names for the Gryffindor Quidditch team. I shall pass the list to you in due course, and you can fix up trials at your leisure."
A few minutes later, Ron was cleared to do the same subjects as Harry, and the two of them left the table together.
"Look," said Ron delightedly, gazing at his schedule. "We've got a free period now, and a free period after break, and after lunch. Excellent!"
They returned to the common room, which was empty, apart from a half-dozen seventh years, including Katie Bell, the only remaining member of the original Gryffindor Quidditch team that Harry had joined in his first year.